He doesn't let people go easy. Good things in life are worth fighting for. Good things in life are worth paying the price. That's what gives it its value. Amen? Amen. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Thanks for joining us for worship this morning in the house and then also online. Thank you if you're new with us today for joining us. And also thank you for being here while Caitlin Clark is winning the Big Ten championship with her team, Iowa Hawkeyes. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll catch the very ending. Sorry, Nebraska, you're going down. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The logo girl's in the house. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God's in the house today. Amen. You know how I know he's in the house? Because you're in the house and God is in you. Amen. 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 It's good to be in the house today. Church, will you open up your Bible app? Some of you already have your phones going off like crazy, so we might as well put it to good use. Sound like somebody has some sort of Scottish ringtone. Heard that. Will you please open your apps? Okay, sorry. I'm done with that. I got more to go. If you have the YouVersion app, please open it up. And if you've been here any time this year, we've been trying this new thing, and a lot of people really like it, so we're continuing it. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for putting that in there for us. You open it up, you go in the bottom right corner, most likely on your phone, it will say More. Click on More. Once you click on More, you're going to see a bunch of a list there of a bunch of different things. You're going to click on Events. If you click on Events, find our church, First Church of the Open Bible is our official name. If you click on there, you will see today's service. Anybody see it? If you see it, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you just click save. That'll save the notes. If not, later on today, they will disappear. And then Pastor Mark told me, which I didn't realize, that also as you put your own notes in there, you want to save your own notes as well. Otherwise, those will disappear. But that way you can kind of follow along with God's word today. In the sermon that God gave me, but just so you know, I don't always follow what is written. And when I mean I don't always, I mean I almost never follow exactly what God has given me during the week, because I want to be led by the Spirit, but I'm thankful that God has helped me prepare for today. So I just want to open up in prayer before I get into God's word. Father, we thank you again this morning. We thank you for your word. It's alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It is perfect in each and every way. And God, I ask that right now it gets to our bone. It gets deeper than our bone and our marrow. It gets to our soul and our spirit. God, I invite you right now. We invite you into the deepest parts of us. God, may you heal from within right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark, who just left. But I'm thanking you anyway for kicking off our March series last Sunday. So thankful. He did a great job. I told him I'm so thankful that you did all like the cerebral stuff, right? You got all the meat and you got all the foundation and you got all that. And then I was like, now I'm going to ask God to just mess it all up. Hallelujah. And do whatever he wants to do, but still stay with that foundation. So I'm so thankful for his teaching gifts and abilities that God has given him. Sometimes I teach, but I always teach loud, so I call it preaching. So I like to preach. But this month, we have a series titled Trauma, Experience, Healing, and Wholeness. Church, God desires to release wholeness and healing. But often this healing is obstructed by unhealed wounds from our painful past experiences. Many people are living with the spirit of trauma in their life. When the spirit of trauma is broken and the truth of God's word is realized, healing can break through in our life. Jesus came to give us life and life to the fullest. John 10:10 tells us that. Church, open up your minds and open up your hearts to allow God to heal you completely, and heal you wholly. Amen. So trauma can be defined as a physical injury. Or trauma can be defined as a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. In my opinion, every soul on planet Earth has faced trauma of all different levels. Amen? Now, a traumatic event is a shocking, a scary, or dangerous experience that can affect someone emotionally, psychologically, or physically. Like Pastor Mark said last week, the word trauma in the New Testament is a Greek word meaning wound. Now, Pastor Mark, he also brought up the Apostle Paul and what he wrote about his own trauma in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read that. Are they servants of Christ? It starts in verse 23. I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, and whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes, verse 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods, and I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent the whole night and day adrift at sea. Wilson. Okay. That's my addition. Okay, verse 26. Okay, you saw the movie. Good. I have traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I've faced dangers in cities and in deserts and on seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. Hey, hey. Verse 27, I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. The Apostle Paul's been through some things. He's been through some major traumatic events in his life. Church, sometimes life hurts. Trauma will come. Difficult times will come. But here's some questions. What will you do with them? What will you allow them to do to you? Church, that's the lifelong question, isn't it? What will you allow life's trauma to do to you? Now, trauma is universal. Nobody can escape it. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, there's been trauma, there's been damage, there's been hurt, there's been wounding, and there's been deep pain. Can you imagine Adam and Eve, the first parents in the entire world, dealing with one brother, one of their sons killing their other son? That wasn't just physical trauma. I can't imagine the emotional and psychological trauma that they had, that we lived in a perfect place, riding unicorns and fighting on pterodactyls, right? We were living. That's 1 Judas chapter 2. I'm playing. Okay, you guys are quiet today. Amen. But they were living in a perfect life. Sin broke in. And then what do they witness in their own family from their own kids? The first murder. You're not sure about that? Well, you need to get saved. Somebody's phone says, I'm not sure about that. Siri, receive the gospel. Hallelujah. Everybody knows Apple needs to get saved. Hallelujah. Don't you be laughing, Microsoft fans. They do too. Hallelujah. Bill Gates needs Jesus more than anybody. Yeah. Put that money to use, brother, for the gospel. Anyway, moving on. If you pull me back a little bit, I won't ring. John 16:33 says this, I have told you all this. This is Jesus speaking to him. I have told you all this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, it doesn't say you will maybe, it says you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Until Jesus comes back and makes everything right, we will face trials, many trials. But church, we don't have to fear, for Jesus has overcome the world. And I praise God that one day, church, one day, There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrows, and there'll be no more trauma. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And I love this verse, verse 4. It's when this happens that this will happen. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Right? Church, we have to face the things that we have to face in our life and the trials that we go through and the pain that we have. And it's the hope of our glory that one day we're going to be in his presence and won't have to face that anymore. Right? This is just but a blink of an eye, the word says. Just a blink of an eye. One day is like 1,000 for him. So thankful for the hope of our salvation. Jesus has set us free. Jesus has given us a new destiny. That there'll be no more trauma where we're going. On this side of heaven, many people have allowed Jesus to heal their hurts and wounds. Praise God. But church, many are still needing Jesus to heal their trauma. Now, pain is subjective. Pain doesn't always apply to everyone in the same way. Just because it might not hurt you doesn't mean it didn't hurt someone else. And just because it didn't affect you doesn't mean that it didn't affect your other brother or sister in Christ. So during this series, don't check out if you don't feel the weight of trauma in your life like others do. Don't check out. Don't do that. Walk with Jesus. Did you know that your walk with Jesus is more than just for you? If you didn't, you don't even know the Great Commission. Once you're saved, you're put to work. Church, transform your mind. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, if you're sharing others' burdens in this way, you're going to obey the law of Christ. Now, I believe God's going to do a major healing in this place. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Just because you feel like it doesn't apply to you. If it doesn't apply to you, just like Damu did earlier, be an intercessor. I wrote that. Be an intercessor. Pray for other people. Stand in the gap for other people because they need to be healed by Jesus. Bear each other's burdens in prayer and pray for a breakthrough. Pray for their healing. Now, Pastor Mark said these things last week. He said, quote, wounds of life are subject to recovery time like a physical injury requires, end quote. Right? Some people get injured and you bounce right back. You might break a bone and you bounce right back a couple months later and you're good to go. I remember what it was like when my wife broke 2 bones in her ankle. For 3 months or so, she laid in a recliner. And for about almost a year, she had to learn how to walk again correctly. Sometimes, church, trauma takes just a little bit of time to heal, and sometimes it takes a long time to heal. But let me tell you, with Jesus, it will heal. Amen. Pastor Mark also had this quote, suffering is not the end of things. Suffering is not the be-all and end-all. Church, we serve the great physician. He's the great and mighty and holy counselor. He is the great psychologist. He's the best coach, and he's our best friend. Jesus heals. Now, I believe this month, many of God's children are going to be healed to their core. God wants to get to the root. No more appeasing the symptoms. Anybody else get I know doctors are wonderful, and I thank God for doctors and doctors and nurses and technicians and modern medicine and modern technology. I'm thankful for the wisdom that God has given us. But so many times, doctors just want to heal your symptoms. Hey, here's another pain pill. Take that. Here's another thing here. And it's like, but God doesn't want us to just have the symptoms in our life. He wants to heal to the core. What is the root cause? Find why I'm in pain. Don't just have me feel better and ease the pain for a moment. I want to be freed from the pain. No more appeasing the symptoms. It's time to find the source. It's time to get rid of the spirit of trauma. Now, I grew up as a kid. When I grew up as a kid in Oregon, everything grew really easy. 9 months out of the year, it rained. And then all summer long, it's absolutely plush and beautiful everywhere. Everything grew there. We got a lot of dandelions in our yard every spring and summer. Now, these dandelions, they look like flowers. I used to pick them and give them to my mom. But they were actually weeds. It's true. And if you don't deal with these weeds, they end up spreading all over the lawn, and they can even spread over to other people's lawn as well. So when I was a young teenager, one of my jobs at home was to mow the front and the back lawn. I would run over these dandelions with my lawnmower and cut them down to size. Now, they appeared to be gone, but just a few days later, they'd come back. And this time, that weed spread to another part of our lawn as well. I tried on my own, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of these. I tried on my own, and I was going to pull them up from the root. And every time I tried to pull them up from the root, they snapped off right from the ground. I would pull, snap, pull, snap, pull, snap every time. They would snap off right there at ground level. But when I used this method, and they wouldn't come back for a week or two. It took a while for them to grow back from ground level, but they did come back. So my dad, he took me with him to this garden center and at this local store, and we walked over to Roundup. Amen, someone said. We walked over to that section, and we picked up Roundup, and on the front of the jug in big letters, it says, kills weeds and won't harm lawns. I'm like, all right, praise God. Then we turned it around, and sure enough, that powerful substance, this is what it said. It said, on the back label, it said, works from the roots up. Fast acting and visible results within hours. Sure enough, that powerful substance did its job. It killed the weeds at the roots, and it didn't harm our lawn. It got to the heart of the issue, and it got to the roots right in the area that I couldn't get to on my own. What my bare hands couldn't do, that substance did what I couldn't do. I needed someone else's help to get rid of the weeds. Church, right now, will you put one hand on your heart and one hand on your head? Damu, you almost stole it all, brother. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to heal us completely. We give you permission to get to the roots of our trauma. No more symptoms. Lord God, heal the source. Heal from the roots up. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 What's cool is what I found out later, church, was this. I went to find something to kill the dandelions, but what I got instead was something that actually killed much more than just dandelions. That powerful substance took care of all kinds of weeds, weeds I didn't even know we had in our lawn. And church, that's the God we serve. Give him permission. Give him access and watch him work. He's going to heal more than you even expected him to heal. Amen? This month, it won't be just about getting rid of the weeds. It won't be just about getting rid of the things that people see. No, God wants to get to the seeds. He wants to get to the issues. He wants to heal from the roots up. God wants to heal not only your outward emotions, but also your inward trauma. He wants to heal what you can't do with your own hands. You need the hands, whew, of the Savior. Hallelujah. If anybody walked through some heavy trauma before, you know it can be messy. Look at your neighbor and say, that's right. One thing we don't want to do this month is reopen what God has already scarred. If you have a scar, it's because there's already been a healing. This month, we will not be looking to reopen scars, but instead praying that the Holy Spirit will create more of them. That he will help heal the wounds of life. So that way, when you look at the scars of life, church, you'll be reminded of what God has done. You'll be reminded how God has healed you. Amen? I look down at my hands and all the anger that I had through all those years, and I look at the scars and say, I haven't created a new one in almost 20 years. It's been about almost 18 years since I punched something in anger. But when I look down, I remember what God has done. That was a box fan. I don't know why I punched a box fan, but I tore that thing up. But it tore me up, and I still remember. And then this one was a wall, and this one was a sign. But God healed. He healed. And every time I look down, I think, look how far I've come because God has healed me. Amen? Trauma can be messy. But we got to give him permission. We got to give him access so we can watch him work. So even though we're believers in Christ, we are filled, and we're filled with his Spirit, church, we can still carry memories and the impact of trauma from this broken world. Amen? Some of us are carrying very, very, very heavy things. And some people are carrying things that nobody else knows. And in some people, it's very evident that you are carrying trauma in your life. So when a person is traumatized, their soul is broken. Our soul has three parts. It has mind, it's our mind, it's our will, and it's our emotions. I believe and I know this, that God wants to heal not only our physical bodies. See, a lot of times in Pentecostal churches, we pray that the tumor goes away, that the cancer goes away. We pray that these things go away. But what about the roots? What about the psychological stuff? What about the emotional things? God doesn't just want to heal your physical body. He wants to heal your soul. He wants to do both. He's an all-in God all the time. He wants to heal your mind. He wants to heal your will. He wants to heal your emotions just as much as he wants to heal your body. In some ways, it would be better that he'd heal those things. Because this body's going to die anyway. But I need to be healed from within. Because my soul and my spirit are going to be with him soon enough. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen. So, you know, Jesus came to give us a sozo life. Sozo is a Greek word for salvation. Yet its root meaning goes far beyond just forgiveness of sins. When this word is used in the New Testament, when sozo is translated and it's used for these things: save, rescue from peril and suffering, protect from destruction, heal, make whole, and deliver. Sozo. I love this verse, Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That's New King James Version. Now, the word grace here in this verse means God's favor, and the word saved here, sozo, means healed or made whole. So let me read it with two Greek words inserted. For by God's favor you have been saved, or you have been healed and made whole through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. For by God's favor you have been healed and made whole. Amen. You can't do it with your own hands. You're only going to get to ground level, church. It's going to snap off and it's going to feel good for a week or two or 1 year or 2 years. But guess what? That weed might grow again unless you get it from the roots up. Hallelujah. Church, God wants to heal your trauma and your traumatic experiences and turn them for good and turn them around for his glory, just like he did for Joseph in the book of Genesis. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned it around for good. Okay, let's talk about some sciencey stuff for a moment. Yes, sciencey is a word right now. I'm behind the pulpit and I have the mic, so. So God created our brain in such a way that we all have memories. Amen? Do you remember me saying that earlier? See what I did? Okay. Okay. So some people need their hand. Lay hands on that brother right there, right on his head. Heal that in the name of Jesus. Restore all the falls that he's had. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. Yes, restore all the falls that he's had. Amen. Physically, psychologically, and emotionally, in Jesus' name. I was trying to make a joke, but the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not a joke, that's real. Amen. Amen. And now you need to start listening because I said it earlier, okay? So, so you can remember. Hallelujah. Amen. God created our brain in such a way that all the memories we have experienced stay with us. And it's in part of the brain called the hippocampus. Now, the hippocampus is the memory center of the brain. It's located in the middle of our brain, but in the bottom part of the middle, right here, if we went, shoop, right through there. It's right next to the amygdala. Remember that guy I talked about a while back, the amygdala? What a cool word. The amygdala produces our fight or flight hormone. And sometimes our amygdala fights with our prefrontal cortex. This is where we get our logic. It's at the front of our skull, right? The front of our noggin here. The amygdala and the prefrontal cortex, they sometimes fight because the amygdala is like, oh my goodness, everything's going to be bad. Like, freak out, run, right? Run, fight, do something. And then the prefrontal cortex is like, it's fine. It's not a lion, it's a cat. Like, what are you afraid of? Or it's not even a storm. Somebody just dropped something or whatever it is, right? And it's like, hey, bring it in, buddy. Like, chill out for a second. But sometimes we need our amygdala because we recognize there's danger and we got to get out of there or we got to fight against it. Now, the hippocampus, which is right by the amygdala, is right next to our brainstem. These all sit above our spinal cord, right about here in our head. If I go right through, zoop, right through there. And they're all part of our brain. And our brain is actually made up of a lot of different and several parts. Everyone's brain has two lobes. You have a right lobe and you have a left lobe. Now, the left lobe is considered to be more rational and organized, while our right lobe is considered to be the creative part of our brains. We all use both sides of our brains on a regular basis, although some people typically function heavier on one side. Like, my wife is very creative, and I'm not as creative. Now, there's something that happens in trauma that causes our left lobe and our right lobe to become less active. Research shows that the connections between the lobes pause when the brain experiences great pain, or when the brain experiences a great wound, or when the brain faces trauma. When this happens, a person will experience a sense of disintegration between the right and the left lobes, and they won't function properly. The connection will not be destroyed by trauma, but instead it'll be paralyzed for a period of time from that trauma. Now, our brain contains and stores memories and images, even the traumatic ones. Many people have traumatic experiences that they haven't dealt with yet. Just because you're not thinking about it doesn't mean it's been healed. Just because you try to bury it or you try to go around it doesn't mean that it's been healed. Some of the traumatic experiences we have go all the way back to our childhood or adolescence, or maybe even yesterday. So what happens is when we try to use our memory, right, for whatever reason, we try to think of something from our past. It could be good, bad, ugly, whatever. Just think about things. What happens is we have to go through the same access point that stores our traumatic memories and images. So people like veterans or people like first responders who have experienced a great deal of trauma or traumatic images end up living with those traumatic memories over and over and over and over and over again on a daily basis. Now, this happens because they're trying to just access normal memories, but they got to go through the same spot where all the other memories are. Now, many times, severely traumatized people are unable to remember a lot of good things about their life. Many hurt and wounded people have a hard time with memory loss. Maybe that's you. It's hard to remember childhood. It's hard to remember this portion of your life. It's hard to remember all the details when you walk through that really difficult time. So in trauma, the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex, they shrink. Also, the connections between your right lobe and your left lobe, they start to malfunction, and the amygdala starts to overfunction. A brain in trauma has difficulty in controlling emotions. Anxiety and fear increase. Anger and rage happen at times for no apparent reason. Rationale seems to be just a luxury now because the traumatized brain is captive to traumatic images and memories. Something is broken. Something is paralyzed. And it needs to be healed from the roots up. The captive needs to be set free. Amen. Church, we need God's sozo. Child of God. That's you. If Jesus is your Savior, you're a child of God. By the way, I want to help somebody today. This is a side note. It's free. Not everybody's a child of God. That's bad theology, right? You're made in God's image, true. You're human. But until Jesus is the Lord of your life and you have a Father in heaven, that makes you a child of God. So stop saying child of God to everybody on earth. That's bad theology, okay? That's for free. You're welcome. Back to the sermon. Hallelujah. Somebody needed that because you're probably driving other people who dig deep in theology, you drive them crazy. They're like, stop saying that, right? That's not true. Hallelujah. But child of God, you need to allow God to heal your traumatic images and memories so they'll stop tormenting you. You need God to take away the pain attached to those things so you can live free, so you can live whole. That's what Jesus wants for you. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But Jesus came to give you a sozo life, a whole life, and you could live a life to the fullest. Anybody believe that prayer changes things? When we work, but when we pray, God works. Prayer changes things. Church, can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
It's true. The highest praise. Prayer changes things. When we pray for someone, it's important we pray for something specific. As specific as we can. It's hard for me to see those things where it's like, hey, I need a general prayer, just pray for generally. I'm like, no, I want to know what's going on because I'm going to pray that there's a breakthrough in that. It's hard to pray specific. Oh, I know, brother, the Holy Ghost knows it. I'm like, you're right. But if you're asking me to pray for you, how do I pray for you when I don't know what's going on with you? Right? If it's just up to the Holy Spirit, you don't need other people praying for you. Holy Spirit knows, right? It's important to pray for things specifically. It's important. If someone has a broken arm, you don't pray for general healing. I just pray that they feel a little bit better today. And I pray that their feet and their knees feel better. No, bro, pray for their arm. Their arm's broken. It's right in front of you. Pray for it specifically. In the name of, by the power and by the blood of Jesus, I pray that that arm be mended and healed right now. Pain be gone. Bones line up to the word of God. We pray that right now that you will fuse it supernaturally. And God, we pray for a breakthrough. God, do a supernatural healing on that broken arm right now in Jesus' name, right? Pray for it specifically. It's important to pray as direct as you can. Pray that Jesus would heal specifically. Church, you got to pray for what is broken. Pray for what is hurt. Pray for the trauma. Pray for the pain. Pray for the memories. Pray for that image. Pray for that thing that they've walked through. Pray for it specifically. This morning, I want to specifically focus on traumatic images and traumatic memories that people are living with every single day. Ones that have not been healed yet. When we pray, we can pray that the neural pathways that contain traumatic images will be healed, will be made whole, and they'll no longer will hold pain that they once did. You can pray that God will heal that situation, even if it was 40, 50, 60 years ago. Even if it was 15 weeks ago, 15 hours ago, 15 minutes ago, you can pray that God will not only heal them, but heal those images. Take away the pain. Take away the things that the enemy wants. Rip it from the roots and replace it with God's love and his peace. Like they might still remember what happened, but it won't have the same sting anymore. It won't have that same shock anymore. It won't have that same thing that sends them into a spiral and crashes. It won't do that anymore because God wants to heal from the roots up. He does. When we pray that the hippocampus, remember that's where all the memories and images are stored in our brain. When we pray for that hippocampus, we're going to pray that there'll no longer be a trigger points associated with the traumatic images and memories. Take away the triggers in Jesus' name, right? Heal in Jesus' name. We pray that Jesus would remove all trauma and replace it with his love and his peace. Here's one of two things will happen. One of two things will happen. The person will lose the traumatic image or the traumatic memory, and sometimes that's a good thing, right? I'm going to take that thing that I don't ever want to think about again, and I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to let him carry that. I can't carry it another day. Amen. I can't carry it another day. Amen. Or it's going to make a scar. Here's what's going to happen. You pray for that traumatic image or that traumatic memory, and that is no longer going to contain pain. It will heal, and it will scar over. So next time you think about that, you say, I remember that. But it doesn't hurt like it once did. It doesn't make me treat people differently because I was hurt by this person before. It doesn't make me go into these situations. Church, fear is going to leave people's lives. How many times do we have fear and it's always tied to something that happened to us before? You have fear because you've walked through it and you didn't allow God to heal you in that, or you weren't realizing that God was going to get you through that certain thing. Amen? A lot of times we have fear because We have something that we've walked through and God hasn't healed us there. So I hate needles. Oh, they're so gross. It's so weird. I can watch a movie and it's like a war movie and the guy has a sword and he cuts the guy's head off and blood's everywhere. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then somebody puts a needle in and I'm like, ah, oh, oh. I'm telling you the truth. It's so weird. It's like sticks in. Like I'm telling you, COVID and that whole thing, that was a mess. I didn't want to watch TV. It's like, get your shot, get your shot. It's like, ah, stop it. Oh, it's terrible. And a lot of people say, the enemy was after me. The enemy was after me in that commercial. No, bro, you just got some serious issues about needles because you had some bad experiences. And that's true. So you know what I did? I said, you know what? This was years ago. We didn't have enough money, and we were going to drive down to Disneyland when Lindley was in mommy's belly and Hudson was just a little guy. We were going to drive down. We took a couple people with us, and we were going to go to Disneyland. We had enough money to get there, but we had no money to spend on anything. We couldn't buy anything. It was like, all right, we got here. It's like, oh, you can't eat. Just look around, kids. We're on a fast. Hallelujah. God has provided, just not food. But we wanted to go down there, and so I was like, okay, all right. Enough's enough. We need money, and I hate needles. So I'm like, I keep driving by this place called BioLife. Wasn't funny then. I'm like, I got this. Okay, I'm going in. They got this big bonus. If I go at the beginning, I do this certain amount, they're going to give me a bonus. Oh, and then if I go 2 times a week, then I can do it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. So like, I lay there, and I'm just like, oh. I've never needed the rapture more than right now. But I passed all the tests, and then they get me in. I never look, but they're putting it in there, and I see it cycling, and I'm like, the whole time I'm like, I love my family. I love my family. I love my family. And then like the 10th time going, I was like, I kind of love my family. I kind of love my family. But no joke, church, get this. This is so ridiculous. Get this. So I know it's my last time. I earned almost $700, right? And I'm like, yes. I did it in advance. It was like 5 months in advance or something. So I'm like almost there. And I'm like, babe, this is my last time. I can't wait to be done with this place, right? I know this place won't be in heaven, but I'm so thankful that I'm just playing. I'm just playing back there. But I'm like, I'm just texting and I'm like, okay, babe, this is my last time. I'm going to get that because you go 2 times. The first time is like $20 back then, and the next one was like $60. So you got to go that second time. That's where all the money's at. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to finish this out. And this is done. We're going to have enough. I'm like, okay, cool. I get in. And usually by now, I got the same people. I was like, hey, what's up? You know, Bill, what's up? You know, what's up, Sam? Hey, what's up? You know, Jenny, what's up, girl? Right? And they all know me. He's like, hey, it's that guy that hates needles. What's up? It's like, hey, hey, you know me. Hey. Right? They always hold my hand. I'm just playing. They didn't hold my hand. That would have helped. But now I get somebody new. I was like, this newbie walks in. I'm like, oh, no. I don't know you. Where's Jenny? Where's Jenny? Jenny! No Jenny. Jenny took the day off, I guess. So I walk in. It's a new person. And I'm like, okay. All right. So I lay down. I'm like, okay, it's good. It's good. It's like, oh, that hurt. Oh, sorry, I went all the way through it. We're going to have to go to the other arm. Like, you went all the way through what? My arm? I mean, I went through the vein. I'm so sorry. You're going to bruise for a little bit. I was like, oh. How long have you been working here? I think you need to quit. So now they got to get on the other side. So now I'm like this. Before, I used to have my phone. I could get on my phone and not look. But now I'm like this. I can't even move. So they put it in. It hurts again. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, good. All right, it's going, cycling. Then beep, 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 beep. Who's that? It's like, oh, it's me, and I didn't win the lottery. I don't know. I was like, beep, beep, beep. Then he comes back over. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he takes my needle, and he adjusts it around. He's like, okay, we got it. And I'm like, I'm not even 5 minutes. Beep, 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 beep. Now he brings his supervisor over. And they're like, oh, okay, okay. And then move it around again. I was like, oh. Hate this place. We're going to Disney, baby. We're going to Disney. So now I'm texting my wife. Hey, it keeps going off. I don't know what's going on over here. And then I'm not even lying to you. I'm not joking. Beep, 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 beep. Third time. I'm like, you kidding me? A whole group of them come over. Like 5 of them. I'm like, well, this is the end, I'm dead. I was like, I don't know what's going on. And they said, and then they pull it out. First they have a huddle. And I'm like, hey, Jenny wasn't there to tell me, so I don't know. So they have a huddle, and I'm sitting there, and then they come over, and they pull it out. They put their thing on. They're like, hey, sir, we got some news for you. Here's the good news. We're going to pay you for today. I was like, okay, what's the bad news? The bad news is, because we did it, there was some sort of clot in there. So now we have to watch you for the next 30 minutes to make sure it doesn't get into your lungs. And if it does, we're going to call the ambulance. And then you'll be fine. It won't kill you, but it might get into your lungs. So go over to the nurse's station for 30 minutes. I'm like, what? This is my last time. Are you kidding me? So I sat there for 30 minutes praying in tongues and texting my wife with caps on, right? This is my last time. I'm going to die. Oh, I love you. Tell the kids I love them, right? Remember me. But church, I got through it. Now I'm not so afraid. I'm saying all that because sometimes you got to face your fears. Okay? Sometimes you just see it and you stand in the face. You say, listen, you won't own my life anymore. I'm going to be free. I'm going to face this, and I'm going to get a blood clot that won't go into my lungs in the name of Jesus, right? Amen, amen. So God is good, amen? He's good, but sometimes God will take those, amen. Sometimes he will take those memories and those images and remove them from you. Sometimes he'll take away the sting so you can get up and you can preach about it to someone else to say, I've been through this, but look where I'm at now, amen? Amen, amen. God is the God that delivers. God wants to take our trauma and heal us. He does. But it's important that you identify in your life what are the symptoms, or maybe you even know the root. It's very important that you identify the root, the symptoms. Because once you identify, it's important that you pray specifically something like this. Lord, I know what this is. Bring healing to the memory of that trauma so I no longer feel that sense of fear, panic, or pain. I invite you to heal me from the root up in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? Identify it, speak to it, prophesy, and allow God to heal you. Church, we live in a throwaway culture. We do. We live in a throwaway culture. If something stops working, we just buy something new. We never spend time trying to fix things. But let me tell you, we serve a God that throws nothing away. You are not beyond repair. You are not beyond repair. You are not beyond repair. He won't throw you away. God is going to restore you. Why? Because Jesus makes all things new. That's what my word says. He makes all things new. Jesus takes broken people and he puts them back together again. He can take and he will take and he will heal your trauma and your thoughts and your images that have been torturing you, that have been holding you down, and he will free you from them if you let him in. Church, you're precious in his sight. You're precious. You're so precious that God sent his one and only son to rescue you from the bondage of the enemy and to heal your traumatic memories and your traumatic images. Thanks be to Jesus, church, we are no longer defined by our history. Come on now, somebody needs to hear that. Because of Jesus, you are no longer defined by your history. Here's another thing, this is free too. I don't personally believe in generational curses. Why? Because when Jesus came, he broke all curses, okay? I don't have to pay for what my dad did or my grandfather did. I believe in generational influence, but I don't believe that I'm cursed because of what my family has done before. Because when I accepted Jesus, he broke all curses. He broke all the trauma. He broke all those things. He set me free. But some of y'all need to get set free. You need to speak to the situation that you're going through. My history and my family's history and the things that have been done to me, the things that haven't been done to me, the things that people have said to me, the things I've had to walk through, the things that were not good and the things that were too good and all these things. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. You're not defined by your past. Jesus came to break these strongholds. Anybody in the house want to get free? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I want to get free. If you want to get free, say amen.
Amen.
We want to be free. I want to live free. Why? Not only for me, but there's other people that need to hear about my freedom in Jesus Christ. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want the pain of this anymore. I've lived with it long enough. It will not hold me down. The enemy has lied to me long enough. That pain has held me down long enough. I am not experiencing a sozo life. I don't want just salvation. I want to be whole. I want every part of me, not just physically, but I want my soul healed too. My mind, my will, and my emotions. Come in now and work from the roots up, God. It's time to give Jesus control. Give him permission. Give him access. And church, watch him work. Complete healing and trauma only comes from Jesus. Only Jesus can heal your soul. Only Jesus can heal those images and those memories. Only Jesus, and church, he is willing. Jeremiah 17, 14 says this, O Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. O Lord. Heal us. If you believe in Jesus and you trust him, he will heal you and he will heal your soul no matter how bad your trauma is. If you want to, church, you can be free today. You can be free today in Jesus' name. I got one last thing and then I'm going to ask the prayer teams and the worship team to come. One last thing. Church, it's time that God heals and restores your hippocampus. It's time he restores your soul. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing? I want to break this right now. You know what religion says? This is what religion says. And I'm going to read a scripture and then we're going to have a time of prayer and worship. This is what religion says. Don't go up there. Don't let anybody see. They're going to judge me. They're going to judge me. Religion says, I care what man thinks. Relationship cares about what Jesus thinks. There's not a soul in the house today that is not dealing with something, small, medium, or large. Trauma is part of life. And Jesus came to set us free and to bring peace in every part of our life. Don't let religion hold you back from freedom. It's time that God restores your hippocampus. It's time he restores your soul. James 5:16 says this. Confess your sins to each other. Confess your sins. Confess. Speak to other people that you trust that are godly. Confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. That doesn't talk about your body. That doesn't talk about your physical body, does it? Right? This is what it says next. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We're only righteous because of what Jesus has done. But let me tell you something. I knew, my wife knew, we knew that this series was coming up here in this month of March. And we've had prayer teams praying for many, many weeks, for this very morning and this month. Today is a day that you can be free. God wants to heal your memories. He wants to heal your images if you let him in. Give those to him. Let him wash them with his word. Let them wash those memories and those thoughts with his blood and make it as white as snow. Let him remove the pain. Remove the trauma. Let him heal your life. You have to live free. You're a child of the living God. You cannot live like that anymore. You cannot think like that anymore. You cannot react like that anymore. It's time for freedom. Worship team and prayer teams, will you come? Will you please lower the lights? Prayer teams, if you can, some in the front here, maybe a couple in the back would be great. This is an opportunity that we're going to ask the Lord to do a healing. Church, will you stand with me? The altar is going to be open. These prayer teams have been asking and praying for a breakthrough in God's life, or in your life, for the Lord to break through in your life and to heal these images and these thoughts. I want to encourage you, if you're not facing things right now, or maybe you can't think of things right now, it's time to intercede. Bear one another's burdens. Lift each other up. Pray for one another. There's going to be freedom in the house. Church, we cannot go any higher. We cannot go any further until we go deeper. Do you understand that? Revival won't come until the church is free. You can't be free unless you confess. You can't be free unless you release. You can't be free until you let God in all of your life. This is not about a show. This is about freedom in the name of Jesus. This is real life. You will not get it from any doctor, psychologist. You won't get it from anybody out there. They can only snap off at ground level, but God works from the roots up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. We invite you now. Move like you want to move. Speak like you want to speak. There's so many people in the house today that need to get set free. I thank you right now. Give them a boldness to walk up to someone to receive prayer today, and there'll be a healing process that's going to take place. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Sozo life. We thank you right now that you're going to do a mighty, 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 mighty work in Jesus' name. And then on worship, if we can lower just a little bit so that people can pray, they can hear, that would be wonderful. And let's pray, let's worship, let's get in prayer, let's get free. Amen? Amen. Come on up at any time. If you're not praying, feel free to walk out into the foyer. This is going to be a time of worship in the sanctuary. Hallelujah.